In today's reading from 2 Corinthians, Paul is under pressure to defend his ministry. At Corinth, other missionaries have turned up with more impressive credentials. There has been a groundswell of criticism against Paul, and as usually happens, people seem to have accumulated as much dirt as possible, including allegations that Paul collected money only to benefit himself, and that when he changed his travel plans, he showed himself a scatterbrain rather than a spiritual person guided by God. Worse still, he did not have an impressive presence and was no match for his rivals as far as miracles, powerful speech, and high connections were concerned. Some saw him as a rather weak, pathetic figure. Our passage is just a snippet from Paul's attempt to set things straight. The tension reaches a climax in later passages, but already in the context where our passage belongs, we see pain and tension. Paul is stating that he is confident and that he won't be bullied by his rivals. His confidence rests, however, not in his oratory achievements, but in his identification with Christ's death and resurrection. He is not embarrassed about not being impressive or powerful. On the contrary, he is prepared to be vulnerable and take Christ and his suffering as his model. For Paul, the evidence of God is not to be found primarily in an impressive achievement, but in love and caring, including when it exposes one to suffering and weakness. Paul turns it around and claims that he has been prepared to face hardship and danger precisely because he is committed to letting Christ's ministry be active through him for them. Rather than failing them by not being sensational, he has served them with sensitivity and love. He has not been preoccupied with his status and achievements. He has been quite happy to change his travel plans if that served his caring ministry better. Paul's confidence derives from taking Christ's self-giving and resurrection as his model. Christ's resurrection is for him the assurance that he can live in hope and with confidence. He does not depend on winning people's praise. He is not looking to be elevated by popularity and influence, but to be elevated and vindicated by God as Christ was. And even then, his focus is not his own reward, but in being loving and generous. Thus, he resets their focus, telling them that is all for them. Paul refuses to play the game that he sees his rival playing. He is clearly annoyed by the distraction which the maneuverings of the rival ministers have created. Paul's way around it is not to play the game, but to assert the heart and focus of his faith. His hope rests not on outward rewards, but something invisible. Ultimately, by this, he means God. In the face of danger, he responds by saying that he rests his case and his life with God. His frail human body does not bother him because he has a heavenly body waiting for him. This was how Paul understood resurrection, replacement of one form of existence by another. His interest is not in what it looks like or things like rewards, but in knowing that he will experience life in the presence of God. Paul's confidence rests not in the details. They don't bother him, but in the fact of God, knowing that in the end there is God, serves to relieve him of worrying about the present. He believes in God, he believes in love. Therefore, he has hope. Therefore, he does not need to get into ministry competition with those who are criticizing him at Corinth. He just needs to be real as Christ was. Freed from self-preoccupation, he is free to be useful in the world. So what is the lesson in here for us? Craig and I are in the process of moving locally. And though we are very excited, this move has currently taken over our lives, and we are totally preoccupied with it. We have our days filled with appointments and more appointments. Our lists have lists. With so much attention to the move and other factors in our life, we have left very little time for anything else, nothing serendipitous. We are thoroughly exhausted. Maybe you've been in a similar circumstance with some project or endeavor that has taken over your life too. So Paul tells us, therefore, do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight. Because we do not look at what can be seen, but what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. I hear what you're saying, St. Paul, but it sure is easy to lose heart sometimes when you are being pushed to your limit physically or emotionally or spiritually, when all you're looking at is lists, calendars, and tasks. It makes us feel as though we are wasting away because our vision has become so myopic. We're afraid that if we take even a minute to look up from what we're doing, we'll lose our place and there's no getting it back very easily. We have to stay aware and alert and on top of everything, just like whack-a-mole. These are the things that are seen, the things that are right in front of our noses. But what about what is unseen? What does that even mean? Being aware of the unseen is remembering that behind the lists, underneath the calendars, alongside the tasks, are reasons that make us so focused. We have lists and tasks and calendars because we know that without them, we can forget something that's truly important. And in the process, we sometimes forget something that's truly important. I know it kind of makes your head spin. So what is truly important? What is the unseen? The unseen is the adventure, the love, the people, the spirit. It is the thing that brings you to life, not the thing that sucks the life out of you. It is moving forward, even with the lists, tasks, and calendars, not standing still. The important thing is the journey, because you never know what's around the next corner. We can't plan for that, but we can be ready for it. Ready for the moment when the laundry doesn't get done because you need to read a storybook to your children or call up a friend. Ready for the moment when a coworker wants to talk about something. Ready for the moment at the conference when, through all the long meetings, a wonderful connection is made, someone who will be a new friend. ready for laughter, ready for a meal, ready for an invitation, ready to put aside the anxiety about coordinating a move to a new home and enjoy the idea of living into a brand new experience. All that adventure is hiding among the lists, tasks, the calendars, hiding in plain sight, waiting to be discovered and unleashed. We just have to be better about looking for it. Amen.